Thank you very much, Jeff, and thank you to the organizers for the invitation to participate. As the slide comes up here, you'll see that the title is the Iowa Master Gardener Program, It's a Breeze, and that is a deliberate pun. Just like my introduction, when I introduce myself to groups that haven't met me before, I always introduce myself as a former dairy farmer who went off to try to make a living as a commercial fisherman, but I didn't succeed because I couldn't live on my net income. So I gave that up and I went to work in an orange juice factory, but I got canned because I couldn't concentrate. And all of those of you in extension, I see you jotting those down, and I know you will use them in the not too distant future. I should mention that Iowa is one of the flyover states. Many of you in this conference flew over us to get here. We're right in the middle of the United States. We're 300 miles wide. We're 200 miles tall, and we have 100 county extension offices within that area. The acknowledgement here is to my coworkers in the Department of Horticulture, who actually did the survey that I'll talk about near the end of my presentation. But I wanted to start and tell you the history of the Iowa Master Gardener Program and how it came to be and where we are now. It started in 1979 with one county extension agent who had heard about the Washington State program and said, I want to do this over here in Davenport, Iowa. And so specialists from Iowa State University loaded up in the car, and we drove the 3.5 hours to Davenport to do the training for those first couple of classes. And other counties said, wow, this is cool, we're going to start doing it ourselves. And at that point, the administration and the horticulture department and others stepped in and said, no, we're going to get ahead of this and we're going to make it a statewide program. It was about to begin as little counties doing what they wanted themselves, but we established it as a statewide program and maintained campus faculty and staff as the instructors for the majority of the training. And that was a decision that was made way back there in the late 70s, early 1980s, mostly using campus faculty and staff, doing face-to-face training, driving to as many as 12 counties a year, and all the different specialists. And of course, that's a lot of time and money and effort, a lot of windshield time, as some people would call it. In 1987, we took the model of our Iowa Pesticide Applicator Training Program, and we began using the satellite from the campus TV station, the satellite uplink to our county extension office. And the Pesticide Applicator Training Program had installed a huge dish and a receiver and a TV set in every county extension office, and we were able to glum onto that system and begin teaching by satellite. And when I say I learned to stop worrying and love distance education, not until I was putting this presentation together did I realize how long ago we had made that transition, that we made the decision back then to continue to use campus faculty and staff rather than turn the teaching over to county extension offices, some who could have done it, some who would not have. But we continued to use campus-based facilities and campus-based specialists to do the training through a one-way communication. Satellite is, you shoot the message up 35,000 miles and it comes back down to the TV receiver in the county extension office. And if they wanted to contact us and ask a question, they got on the phone and dialed our number and they talked to us over the phone as they watched their TVs. The Iowa Board of Regents, in their wisdom, saw the TV station as a cash cow. And in the late 80s, it was, in the 1990s, it was sold for $13 million, which is long gone. We had the asset of the TV station on campus. Channel 5, the ABC affiliate, used to be the Iowa State University station. And they sold that for a bag of silver, which disappeared somewhere. So the satellite, because it was now not university-owned TV, it became increasingly expensive, and so we began looking for an alternative, and at the same time, the Iowa State Legislature came up with about $30 million to bury fiber optic cable across the state along the interstate highway, and in 1992, the Iowa Communications Network was created, and it's a statewide fiber optic network that links 758 classrooms in real-time, two-way, a high-speed video exchange. It's also our university long-distance telephone company, but we don't talk about that because that would sound like competition with private industry. So we began using this fiber optic system by going to a classroom on campus and talking to up to 15 other counties at a time. It says 30 counties per year, but we teach twice a year, as I'll tell you in a little bit. So we were limiting the number of classrooms that we could connect because of our concerns of the technology, and it would shut off at odd times and so forth like that. But it did give us this fiber optic two-way communication that we could look into office into county classrooms, and they could see us and we could see them, and we could talk back and forth. And then sooner or later, somebody would put their big old workbook down on the microphone that locks the system to the county extension office, and we wouldn't be able to talk until they moved their workbook off of the microphone. It had its problems, and the problems increased. The system got older, there was less upkeep in it, and we had some counties that were looking for seats for up to 60 people, and they would go to an armory, and of course in 2001, you know, armories became difficult to get into. They would go to schools, and on Tuesday night when we were doing our training, there may be a basketball game, so parking wasn't available. We were using someone else's site. We were using these classrooms around the state. So in 2003, because of lots of reasons, we did go to web-based video conferencing with the purchase of Iowa State University to buy Macromedia Breeze software. Macromedia Breeze, as you know, was later purchased by the Adobe people, and it's now known as Adobe Registered Trademark, Acrobat Registered Trademark, Connect Trademark. So it is web-based conferencing, and it does allow us to present live meetings over the internet. And we limited the number of counties that could be on the Iowa Communications Network because we were worried about the technology crashing all the time. This system works very well, and we have taken off the limits of how many counties can participate, and we now do 40 to 50 counties per year. We used to have this minimum of 15 students per class. If your county couldn't come up with 15 students, you would not be a class. We've now lowered that to 6, that if you get 6 people together, I know to some of you states, 6 people doesn't sound like a lot, but of those 100 counties in Iowa, there are some of those counties that have a population of only 5,000 people. Some of those counties can only come up with 6 people every second or third year to do the training. But the advantage is they do it in their local facility using equipment that was already in place. Iowa State University Extension purchased and installed T1 internet connections to every county extension office. And so we have this high-speed internet access into every county. It was already there. We just started using it sort of after it was already there. If you've not done an Adobe Connect or a Breeze program, this is one way it can look. You create a meeting screen of these different pods, and you make them any size and shape, and you put them wherever you want. We settled on this, that we would put the speaker kind of in a small picture up in the corner so that they would at least see the person talking. The PowerPoint presentation takes up almost all of the space. There is a chat pod where the coordinator at the county office types the questions. The presenter sees those questions come up on the screen, decides to ignore them, put them off to later, or stop right then and answer the question. There is a list of who all's online that we choose to have there as well, and we always have that technical assistance number available for them. We use Adobe Connect as one way. We send a signal to them, and they can chat back to us. They do not send video and audio back to us, and this is called maximizing the bandwidth, which makes no sense to me, but the pipe is only so big, and we are cramming the pipe outbound with as much video and audio signal as we can get to them. And we're letting a little signal trickle back in the way of chat. And what that does is it makes the audio signal out big, so they hear it better. You don't get the breakup where someone is talking and then they pick later on and the video doesn't jerk as much under those situations. So that was a decision we made. They do not talk to us, we do not see them, but they communicate very freely and frequently by way of the chat. So this is how it works for us, and this is all flexible, and you can make this work however you want. In Iowa, we've trained 8,500 master gardeners in nearly all of our 99 counties. There are 100 county extension offices, but only 99 counties. Yes, it takes some explanation. Right now, we are training at about 50 locations a year. We train in the fall semester from September to November, and the spring semester, January to March. We have always one master gardener program behind bars. Sometimes we have two, but it alternates. Sometimes the women program picks it up. Sometimes the minimum security at Iowa City, home of the University of Iowa, picks it up. And we're training about 300 to 350 new master gardeners per year. I did learn the hard way, and I would tell Mike Raup that he's probably learned this also, that when you're in a master gardener program behind bars, don't ask why they are there. It stops the conversation. You're having this nice conversation with somebody who seems like a perfectly normal person, and you ask the logical question, what are you in for? I killed a guy. I don't know how you respond to that. That's So I've learned, don't ask. If you're in the prison, don't ask why they're there. We cover 15 subject matter areas. 9 of those are taught by the distance education program that I just described. The other 6 are taught in face-to-face. So it's not entirely looking at a TV screen. There are local presentations, and all Iowa Master Gardeners come to Saturday class on campus, a laboratory experience that's on campus. This list looks just like everybody else. You see the things that are taught by distance education using experts, staff, and faculty from campus. The face-to-face classes can be taught by campus staff. We send campus staff out to do, maybe a dozen every semester. We're helping counties with local, with statewide talent. Otherwise, either the county directors teach it themselves, or they find a local person. It looks like there are lots of face-to-face sessions, but integrated pest management, pesticides, and weeds are all taught as one unit. They're separate chapters in the book, but they're all taught as one unit. So there are only 4 nights of face-to-face and 7 nights of distance education. And that campus class on the campus experience is a laboratory experience where every master gardener comes to campus either 2 Saturdays in the fall or 2 Saturdays in the spring semester, where they cover another laboratory exercise in botany, soils, entomology, and plant pathology. So the distance education is half of the entomology lesson. The class on campus is the other half of it. And they bring their workbooks and they bring their schedules, and we run them around to 3 different buildings, and this takes lots of explanation. How do I get to campus? Where do I park? How do I find the building? So we give them lots of maps and advanced training, and then we stand out on the street corner in February, and when you see a car driving up real slowly without a town license plate, you point. Say, over there. So we get them on campus for this experience, and they're busy. They're running around all day from campus. They move through 3 different buildings. Every 40 minutes, they're moving to another class experience. They're doing 2 different soils labs. They do 2 different botany labs. They're doing 2 entomology labs, and then they're doing 1 huge plant pathology lab, which is how it's set up. And this is Dr. Laura Jesse teaching the entomology lab in one of our recent class on campuses experiences. We use a lot of graduate students to teach these different courses, and the master gardeners love it. These, as you'll see, most master gardeners are my age, or just slightly younger, and they meet these college kids, and they just love the experience of rubbing elbows with these students who have so much enthusiasm for their information that they will come to campus on a Saturday to teach in exchange for $100. Who knew you could get graduate students to work that hard for $100? So the entomology instruction is 1.5 hours on distance education using a PowerPoint presentation, and 40 minutes on a laboratory exercise on class, and 40 minutes in a lecture on class that reinforces many of the things you've already heard about this morning. I don't spend a lot of time on taxonomy anymore. I learned that lesson. They don't care where the spiracles are located. They don't care how to pronounce the plural of trachea. But we still talk a lot about identification, growth and development, mouth parts, and behavior. The class on campus lab emphasizes those insect orders, the mouth parts, and the impacts, including damage symptoms that they might have. A look at the insect relatives that are there as well. And then when they come to my session on the, which is ornamentals, this is where I do cover the top 10 insects that are found on trees and shrubs in Iowa, and we go over each one of those insects in detail, and I very carefully use terms like instar and life cycle and mouth part and economic injury level. I use that vocabulary that they've heard in the 1.5-hour lecture in this 40-minute follow-up, just focusing on trees and shrubs. Insects on turf grass, vegetables, and fruits are covered in those chapters by the horticulturists who teach them. We did do this evaluation. We asked the instructors, the county coordinators, and the participants how this all works and feels for them. This was the part that my horticulture colleagues asked about how people accept it? Does it meet their needs? What are the benefits and challenges of using the distance education system? We asked 188 master gardeners. We did this while they were on class on campus. We feed them when they're there on Saturday. They're locked into a room to get their lunch, and they don't get out until they turn in a survey. So we got really good, we got really good response rate on this. The program is coordinated in the counties by either a county director, a volunteer, an office assistant, or a paid horticulturist. We did get good response from those other people as well. This is a study that we invented on a Friday night before class on campus started on Saturday. We cut plastic tubing into foot-long pieces. They pour in a measured amount of soil. We give them a one-by-one stick, and they pound on the soil in one tube as hard as they can, and then they pour in water and measure the time it takes it to go through. And they learn a lot about compaction and soil airspace during that experiment. So our survey was 14 questions with some open-ended and some Likert questions, and it took them 10 to 15 minutes. And pretty typical survey. What we found out is what you kind of look gather looking around the room. Our classes are a little more weighted toward females than males. Most of them are 43 to 64 years old, some younger, some older. We do take teenagers in the Master Gardener program, but we try to discourage them because when they come to the class on campus, they are the ones who end up cutting themselves with the razor blades in the botany lab. They do rate the information as very useful to them, and they like the horticultural knowledge that they gain out of the entire Master Gardener's experience. This wasn't just entomology, this was the entire program. When you ask them, how do you like to learn, of course they like face-to-face. They like Donald Lewis to drive 3 hours in a car to meet with 12 of them for 3 hours on a Tuesday night. But 22% said, yeah, the webcast is pretty good. That's a pretty good substitute. But they really do want you there. It's just we can't do that for all the ones that are there. So we asked the coordinators, how is it for you, those of you who are running it? And they think it's very valuable information, and they love Adobe Connect. And I'll show you in a little bit why they do. They love it because they don't have to travel, because the campus faculty and staff are doing the instruction, it's easily accessible, and they stay in their county extension office. They don't have to go to another facility. And of course, Adobe Connect archives these as well. What they don't like is the audio breaks up every once in a while. They don't really like the chat, and they feel like they need more technology support, but then who doesn't? They are accepting of it. It does work for us. I wouldn't say that it was going to work for everybody, but it is the most effective system that we have found. And if you think you're doing Master Gardener training just because you're an entomologist and you're not impacting lives, I want to finish with this slide. One of our Master Gardeners died suddenly, unexpectedly, and the family had the Master Gardener logo engraved on her tombstone. That's how important we are. Thank you.